The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black on black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked.
Elbert, I want to tell you, man, there's a lot of stuff going on out here in society, so, and there's a lot of topics that we can talk about. And in particular, right now, I would like to talk about the civil rights movement and how it relates to the homosexual argument as well as the illegal immigration argument.
Ooh, big can of worms.
Yeah, well, because quite often you hear homosexuals in today's society as they fight for what they say, well, they say that they're fighting for rights. And also you hear illegal immigrants talking about how they're fighting for rights. I just kind of feel like they're pimping the civil rights movement. And I'd like to know, how do you feel about that?
I'm kind of two minds. I can see where they might be coming from, but I don't think they should try to piggyback on the civil rights movement. If they have legitimate complaints or legitimate reasons for protesting or whatever they're going to do to demand their rights, then let it be their own. It should stand alone. If you have a legitimate complaint, you don't have to compare yourself to the civil rights movement. It should stand on its own. And for that reason, I kind of sympathize with them, but I kind of separate the immigrant thing and the gay rights thing, because those to me are just separate issues to me. I don't know how you feel about it, but I just don't feel like they should be lumped together, because number one, if you're an immigrant coming into this country, I don't see how you can stand up and say, give me my rights. You just got your foot in the door and you're going to stand around and demand rights from somebody?
Well, let's consider this. You just got your foot in the door illegally.
Right.
Okay.
I should have added that.
And you're demanding rights and things of that nature.
Right.
And I think you're kind of out of whack at that particular point.
Absolutely.
So I think it's very illegitimate and disrespectful for these illegal immigrants to compare what they're attempting to do to the civil rights movement, which was very legitimate. We know that in America at that time, we actually did have a real race problem, you know. And with the whole illegal immigration thing, I don't think it's not related to race. It's related to the rule of law.
Right.
You have broken the law, and now you're coming into our country illegally, and you're demanding things. I have a serious problem with that. And I think a lot of people in the black community should have a serious problem with that.
Well, I think they should. When you consider the job market now is
Absolutely.
Not great. If you've been here all your life and you're struggling and you're trying to support your family, and then this administration is going to let illegals come in for whatever reason, Dream Act or whatever you want to call it, they're going to be out there competing with people who have been here all their lives for these jobs. And let's face it, they will work for less.
Absolutely.
And if you're a businessman, it's good business to get cheaper labor. Can't fault them for that, but for them to come in and say they demand or they deserve every right that a citizen that was born and raised in this country, I just can't go along with it. It's just simple as that.
You know, I struggle with that, but I also struggle equally with the homosexuals wanting to compare their so-called fight to the civil rights plight. And as a matter of fact, I find that one to be very uncomfortable because I feel like homosexuals already have all the rights that we have.
Right. You know? Except they can't legally get married. But with the state of marriage in this country, I mean, with 50% of people heterosexuals, their marriage is not working out. I don't see why gay people think that marriage is this big panacea in life. I mean, it's a 50-50 chance at best that it's going to work out for you.
I think they focus on gay marriage not necessarily because they have really bought into the concept of marriage. Mm-hmm. I think they focus on gay marriage because they feel like if they can get that one over on us, then there's no turning back. And what they're actually looking for in America is this universal form of acceptance. Mm-hmm. And the problem that I see them running into is that you're attempting to force people to accept something that to most people is totally unnatural. You know, and a lot of people will attempt to demonize me for making a statement. But the bottom line is you cannot force people to accept something that they deem to be something that's totally unnatural. I think what they should be focusing on is becoming comfortable with who they are as opposed to trying to force the rest of us to become comfortable with who you are. And I think they would have more success. And it's kind of like in the black community, as opposed to trying to force the white America to view you as a victim and as a result of that somehow give you certain entitlements and set-asides, we should focus on how we interact and live in our own households and our communities, and let's see what type of results we get.
Absolutely, because if in fact the attention was turned inward in the black community and deal with the internal problems, whatever residual racism out there, I think, would not be the big monster that it is. Because the reason why we see it as such a problem is as a lot of people want to focus on it so they don't have to deal with the internal problems. Right. You know, if you can focus on this big bag boogeyman out there, you don't have to deal with your own problems, and you can blame your failures and lack of success on some external force. And I think it's probably the same to an extent with the gay community. I don't see how they really have any bigger problems than anybody else in this country. You're going to force somebody to approve of your lifestyle. I mean, that's a personal thing. Either you Absolutely. Approve of the gay lifestyle, you don't approve of it, or you're neutral.
But it shouldn't be necessary for me and the rest of society to accept the lifestyle. Well, right. You know, the challenge for me is, why do you feel as a homosexual that it's necessary for me to accept your lifestyle? Right. If you accept it, and your counterparts, you all accept it, it shouldn't be necessary to put it on me to accept
right,
it.
Right.
And what it seems like, I'm sorry, what it seems like to me is that they really want preferential treatment. And at the end of the day, I have to struggle with that, you know, because I don't buy into this whole race card thing. But, you know, if homosexuals are going to go out here and look for preferential treatment, then by all means, I have to look at black people and say, well, you should do the same thing. You know, because your struggle and the struggle, what you've gone through versus what they've gone through, it doesn't even compare. And they can hide homosexuality. You can't hide your blackness.
Right. But there's no reason to hide it. You are who you are.
Right.
And if you're a gay person, if you want to walk down the street holding hands with another man, or if you're a gay woman, walk down the street holding hands with another man or whatever, that should be your right. That's your choice. Okay. Now, me as another citizen, I don't have the right to persecute you for that. Now, they should have that right, and technically they don't, because there are some knuckleheads out here that will get violent when they see that. I never understood it myself.
But that's rare. That's few and far between.
That's probably true.
Now, you use the term persecute. Now, you do have every right to have your personal perspective on homosexuality. Now, if that makes them uncomfortable, that doesn't make you the bad
guy. You can have your own attitude, okay. But if you own an establishment or something and it's open to the public and a gay couple walk in, I don't think that you have the right, if you're serving the public, to treat them any differently because you disagree with their sexual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is persecution. That's no better than saying, I don't want to serve this person because they're black, just because they're black.
What about the individual that doesn't want to make the cake for the gay wedding and it's against their religious beliefs?
Well, again, you get into a situation where it was the same during slavery. there was a lot of justification put forth for slavery coming out of the Bible. A lot of people believe that the Bible justifies slavery.
But it doesn't. They are totally misinterpreting that, which we won't go into that. But let me just say this. I want to get back to making the cake for the wedding for the gay couple. Now, if it's against my religious beliefs, I have every right not to do that. And I'm not the only cake baker in town.
That's true.
You know, so if you force me to do that, then what are you infringing on as far as I'm concerned? What about my rights?
Well, again, in a way, see, I'm kind of ambivalent about that because what you're saying is you have the right to force your religious beliefs on
someone. No, I'm not forcing it on them. No. See, they're forcing their lifestyle on me.
If they insist
that I make this cake for them, they're forcing their lifestyle on me. Now, what I'm doing is
they're going to pay you with greenbacks.
Hey, but I don't want the greenbacks because I do not want to support this lifestyle. Now, here's the deal. I'm not forcing my religion on them because at the end of the day, I don't care how they worship. I just want them to understand that, hey, I can't support your lifestyle by performing this service for you.
But you realize that's kind of a slippery slope. You're saying that I can deny you service even though I'm here.
That's only relevant if I'm the only. But can they go elsewhere to get that service? Can they?
Again, that's like saying separate but equal.
No, I don't see that because
isn't that separate but equal?
Well, I'm gonna say this, and then I got a different topic I want to move to. You said that's like saying separate but equal, but here's the thing: they choose to be a homosexual. We didn't choose to be black.
Well, see, that's a point of contention or disagreement. There are a lot of people who believe that people are born gay.
Well,
I'm almost convinced of that because when I see what gay people go through, I think you'd have to be insane to choose that lifestyle. You're either insane or you're born that way, because I don't think anybody would choose a lifestyle that brings that kind of persecution on them, that kind of risk of harm and discrimination, unless
they're insane.
Biologically, they have their biological imperative as homosexuals. Heterosexuals do.
I'm going to make this last response to what you just said. Let's look at all the other lifestyles out here that people choose, mm-hmm. and we don't necessarily refer to them as
like
being
bestiality
insane.
And necrophilia,
gang activity. You'd have to be insane to participate in that on a daily basis,
knowing the violent
repercussions.
That's just taking a chance. I'm gonna operate outside of the bounds of the law and take a chance on being successful and not being caught. That's not the same, I don't think, as having homosexual tendencies or heterosexual tendencies. I truly believe they are born gay. Either that or they're insane to heap all that on themselves. And get down to the nitty-gritty. All you're talking about is companionship with another person, sexual gratification with that person. Now, if you're a heterosexual, there are enough women or men out there to satisfy that need. Why would you have to venture over into the homosexual side? And if you're a homosexual, same thing. You feel a certain way. You get gratification in a certain way. And I don't see why people feel that it's a lifestyle choice when all we're talking about is that personal relationship, sexual gratification, and you can get that with a woman. So if you're heterosexual, why would you venture over into the homosexual side unless there's some biological imperative? Because sociologically, it doesn't make sense to me. It's insane.
Well, I'm going to kind of change gears here and shift, and we're going to move on to
a different topic. Wait a minute. Now, did we resolve that? Or?
No. We weren't attempting to resolve it. We were just attempting to get people to thinking and kind of get the debate going as far as
we're not going to solve that in the time frame we have. It's been going on for decades, probably for centuries. So,
well, let me tell you something else I struggle with as far as the black community. I struggle with our unwavering support for the Democrat Party when, if you look into it, if you take more than just a cursory glance, you'll see that the Democrat Party platform is not conducive to black employment, black education, or black life. Understand, as far as black life, the Democrat Party supports abortion. okay, they support it wholeheartedly, always have. And we see what abortion has done to the black community. We understand the roots of abortion and that it was designed as a tool by which to eliminate the black population here in America. And as far as illegal immigration, the Democrat Party supports that wholeheartedly. We understand how illegal immigration increases black unemployment. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party doesn't support that. The Democrat Party supports that. When you look at school vouchers can be the most expeditious way to move black young boys and girls out of poverty by giving them the opportunity to get a grade A education, oftentimes in these Catholic and parochial schools in the urban core. But once again, that's something that the Democrat Party doesn't really support. The Republican Party is on the opposite end of the perspective with regard to the spectrum with regard to these issues. And there's other issues that we can discuss where the Democrat Party supports the things that are not productive to the black community, but why do we continue to go out and support them?
I don't know. Somewhere along the line, the party of Lincoln, the Republican Party, which was big in the African-American community, somehow black community transitioned from that all the way over to voting 90% plus for Democrats.
But, Elder, what I'm asking you—
The only thing I can see is the Democrats had a strategy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of giving the handouts, the goodies, the freebies. And that had gradually, over the decades, sort of wooed the black population, the majority of the African-American population, over to the Democrats. Whereas I see the Republican as being either totally uninvolved or practicing kind of a tough love, which a lot of people could have problems dealing with, or they're just completely neutral as far as African-American population is concerned. So I see the allegiance to the Democratic Party purely as a situation where you have a group of people who are saying, follow us and we'll get these freebies, these goodies for you. Look at the other side. They don't care about you.
Because they're not giving you the goodies.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I think the Republican Party is really about self-sufficiency, sustaining yourself, you know, and like you said, that whole tough love thing, right. And which I'm a huge advocate of that.
Absolutely.
Because we know that will bring about results. You know, and as far as the goodies, let's talk about these goodies. I mean, what are these goodies? I mean, welfare, is that one of the goodies?
It started out as welfare, but now it's welfare, it's SSI, disability, it's all the other programs, and now we got Obamacare stacked on top of that. We got earned income credit. There is just a whole host of programs out there that have been instituted mainly by the Democratic politicians during Democratic administrations. Maybe not in so many words, but it tells them that you need us. You need us to watch out for you because there's these big, bad Republicans over there. They don't care about you. They're just out for the rich people. And so you need us to intercede and to give you these things because you can't make it without us. And there are a lot of people that buy into that. I hear it all the time.
Well, let's look at the pattern that it has created. The whole system that the Democrat parties have proposed for us is, okay, we're going to give these people these goodies and whatnot. And they understand what they're doing. It keeps us coming back voting for them the first Tuesday in November. But let's look at the pattern that it has established. It hasn't created a pattern of self-sufficiency. It hasn't created a pattern of success. I mean, if you look at the pattern, all you got to do is look in the urban core. And you see the pattern that is created.
A pattern of dependency.
A pattern of dependency. So what we've got to do, we've got to fundamentally reject that and go out here and say, you know what, let's try this alternative route. I don't care that, you know, most of the people that propose the alternative route have an R behind their name. We have at least got to go out here and take a chance with this thing. Let's roll the dice. I don't necessarily consider rolling the dice. But we've got to fundamentally reject this whole welfare state that we've bought into because we have a system of dependency. This system we've given it ample time to produce results, and it has not produced results.
It's produced results, all right.
Oh, okay, not the right results.
Gigantic amount of dependency, low self-esteem, almost no self-initiative, because we have a whole generation of people out there that don't feel they're in control of their own destiny.
And that's because they have not bought into the ideals that the Republican Party puts forth, which is capitalism,
right.
Free market.
Absolutely.
Those values.
But this is the problem with what the Democrats do. When you start giving somebody something, they don't develop an attitude of self-determination, having control of their own destiny, working for what they want to achieve in life. If somebody's giving you something, and then it gets to the point where you got yourself in a rut, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, hey, you gotta be independent, you gotta do for yourself, but you don't have the education. You might have a criminal record as long as your arm. You might have 5 kids with 4 baby daddies. Then how do you turn that around?
Well, here's what
happens. If you go out there and get a job, the most you're going to make is minimum wage. Then all of a sudden you're confronted with, heck, if I go out and get this low-paying job, which I don't think I'm qualified to do, the government's going to take the goodies and I'm worse off. So it's kind of a catch-22. There may be a lot of black people out there want to do better, but they've gotten themselves in a situation following the Democratic model, you know, giving their allegiance to the Democrats and waiting for the Democrats to make it all better.
Let me say this real quick, Albert. Now, you touched on something that got me to thinking. Well, when we decided to accept these goodies and when we bought into this whole Democrat welfare state, You're right, it didn't allow us to develop the skills necessary to obtain the things that we would need to obtain in our lives if we wanted to be self-sufficient and financially independent.
Right.
Now, we've got to begin to have conversations in the black community about capitalism and about free market economics instead of having these conversations about when election times are, well, what are you all going to do for us? What is this party going to do for us?
Right.
You know, and that's the problem.
But that's a big problem because it's almost a generational thing. If you start turning it around right now, it might not pay off in benefits until the next generation is of age, because you have to start grooming these people when they're young to think that way.
Right,
and not think that I'm going to sit down and wait for a government check, or I'm going to go to the food bank and get my food for the holidays. You know, it takes a mindset.
There's a way to rapidly disseminate this message and to get people to buy into it right away and to get immediate results. Fortunately, I'll give you an example. You take a kid that's a freshman in high school. If you can get him to buy into this concept, you can get immediate results because he has his freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year. If we can get him to buy into it, in 4 years we can see immediate results. He'll be going to college. He'll be going to college to major in one of the exact sciences, science, mathematics, something like that. Not these social sciences like we tend to go and major in that don't yield any real income.
Okay, I agree with that. Remember what I said about generational? That's fine for that crop of people right there, that generation X, so to say, going forward. But what about this generation before them? The problem is intractable among that group of people because they haven't gotten an education. They've lived a lifestyle that's got them stuck in this rut. They're dependent on the Democratic Party.
You can do the same thing with them.
Oh.
No, but let me tell you.
It's much harder, much, much harder.
Well, you know, you can get those people in trade schools and the ones that are prison. We know there's a lot of us in prison. You can start a mandatory program in the prison where they have to go to trade school. You can change their whole future overnight by getting them to buy into it.
Well, you just said something that's very insightful, mandatory.
That's as far as the prison system.
Well, you're going to have to do something mandatory out here in the civilian sector, too, because how do you make a group of people who've been dependent for a couple of generations all of a sudden feel like their lives are in their own hands?
I have a solution for that, too, but we'll talk about that.
Well, if you have the solution, we need you in Washington.
We can't make change until we begin to make change.
I agree with that. And that might be a good campaign slogan. You ought to think about that. Are you old enough to run for president?
Yeah.
Okay. Give it some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we can be proud of.